Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the 1 hour live webinar session brought to you by kclau.com. So as you can see on the screen, we have our very own Sifu, KC Lau himself, on the platform. Today we do not have any external guest speaker. It's all in-house, it's all family here. And today we're going to talk about mortgage. So basically, we have received quite a number of questions related to mortgage, whereby people are asking, is it a good thing to actually pay off your mortgage as soon as possible? So Casey has actually replied these emails, questions, and stuff like that to actually address this issue. But I believe that this kind of question, right, it warrants us to actually do a webinar session to fully explain and expound on this thing so that you guys will know once and for all whether or not we should be paying off our mortgages as soon as possible. Okay, so we are going to go in deep into this topic, and without further ado, I'm going to pass the control to Casey. But before I do that, just want to give you a quick note here. So if you have any questions during this webinar session, right, just put it in the Q&A box, because after this webinar presentation, I will be moderating the Q&A section, and I will be monitoring first your questions at the Q&A box. And of course, if you have any comments during this webinar presentation, just put your comments in the chat box, okay? So questions in the Q&A box, comments in the chat box. And right now, let us warmly welcome our very own Sifu, KC Lau. Welcome to your own show.
Yeah, glad to be here. So without further ado, let's just start the content. Are you seeing my... are you seeing my desktop?
Yes, I'm looking at Taipei Skyline.
This is Taipei Skyline? Oh, no, it is not. I don't know where this is. It's Apple's wallpaper, I guess, one of it. So let's get started. So the question is, like, pay off your mortgage as soon as possible. Like, is it good for you? Because sometimes it's not just like paying off the mortgage. Like, some people, they like to pay it off as soon as possible. It's like they make it their main goal, right? Have to be debt free. Have to do that. Like, this is the main goal. I will do nothing else until I settle the mortgage. So is that good for you? So this is the thing that we want to find out. So I'm going to show you some analysis and proof, you know, so that you can make the decision on your own whether it's good for you or not. So a disclaimer, some disclaimers here. The strategy outline here is unconventional because I'm not going to speak like your parents. So this is unconventional, right? Your situation is unique and don't follow blindly. I'm not responsible for your actions, and all information is for sharing and educational purposes. Don't take any part of this presentation as professional financial advice, because I don't charge you anything for this, right? Okay. Today's content, we're going to talk about a unique investment account. We'll disclose that. And then, is it good to pay off your mortgage as soon as possible? And why some savvy investors don't pay off their mortgages? And the framework to benefit from your mortgage, if you want to benefit from it. So before we start, let's start with a poll. Like, do you want to pay off your mortgage as soon as possible? So this is the first question, actually, I want to know. Okay, where do I... I want to launch the poll. Okay.
You can put your answers in the poll.
Yep.
Let's see the response. A lot of people are actually opting to pay off their mortgages as soon as possible.
Yes, 50, yeah, more than half, right? It's more than half. So let's stop that so I can know. Okay, I'm gonna stop it. Share the result. I'm gonna share it to you. Like, you can see 53% say yes, right? 34% say no, and some say not applicable, not sure yet. So that'll be interesting. So we will yep. Okay, you're looking at my screen, right? Okay, so I'm an author, so I've written a few books, and all these books you see here is actually out of print, so you cannot get it anywhere else. We are not reprinting, but I have the new one, the latest one. It's called Money Smart. So if you ask me which book is the best, I would say this book is the best. Yes, actually, this is my favorite book too. So I like this book the most from all my other previous books. So if you haven't read it yet, this is the book you want to get. And we're gonna have a one lucky winner today. So to participate, you can just like and share this video on Facebook. Hashtag Money Smart, and then you can tag my page Casey Lau's Money Tips. Then you can find the link of this video on YouTube as well, because it's streaming concurrently. So where to find it? Just go to my Facebook page and then /live. You know, my Facebook page Casey Lau Money, and then you /live. Then you can find this video. Or okay, let me paste it here for you. Huh. Make it easy for you. Okay, like copy link. Okay, so I can paste it in the. Where is the chat?
Link. I mean, Money Smart link. I never see that before. So what's that all about?
Okay, so this is this video on Facebook, right? So this is the link I paste on the chat box. So you can just share this, and then we will pick one winner at the end of the webinar to receive the book for free. And if you want to, you do want to participate, it's okay. You don't want the lucky draw, also okay, or you want it, also okay. You can buy it straight away from my publisher. So that's the link here, kclau.com/moneysmart. So this is where you can get the book. Okay, now let's get back to the content here. Okay, now I have an investment account for you, right? So usually, like when insurance agent they're selling a saving insurance, they'll say, okay, they're not saying about plans, they say this is an account, right? Investment account. So I call this account H. So the condition number one, if you want to invest in this account, right, you have to pay regular fixed amount each month, you know, at a fixed term. So let's say it is 25 years fixed term, like 25 years, and then you have to pay 1,000 a month for this account. So if you want to invest in account H, this is the condition number one. Okay, number two, account H, is that you can pay more but not less. That means when you start with 1,000, then of course you can sometimes you can put 2,000, 1,005, you can put 3,000, whatever, if you're a bonus or anything. But you cannot pay less. You cannot pay less than 1,000. You must meet the requirement. And then some people ask, okay, this is account H. If I miss a few payments, what happened? When you miss a few payments, your previous payment might be forfeited. Okay, this might be forfeited. Okay. Condition number three. Okay, the more you pay, the less return you will get. Okay, so it sounds like in Chinese, yeah. Putui lu. Condition number three, the more you pay, the less return you will get. Then it makes you like figure, apani account H. Doesn't make sense to pay more, right? Okay, now condition number four, the value you build up in account H is not liquid. That means you, if you want to get that money out, it will be costly, a little bit costlier, right? What if you need the money to withdraw? You have to pay legal fee because we have to redo the documents, and we have to charge you some administration fees as well. So this is condition number four. That means you cannot just simply take the money out. Okay, condition number five. The more you invest in account H, the higher the taxes you are going to pay. That means your income tax might increase.
Okay.
Okay, the more you invest, the more you pay. Okay, so let me ask a question. Do you want to invest in account H? Do you want to invest in account H? Okay, let me launch a poll. Launch it. Okay, do you want to invest in account H? For you guys on Facebook, you can type yes, no, not sure.
Someone say yes.
Yeah? Someone say yes.
Someone say yes.
Oh, you see what kind of product also people want to buy, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, not sure. And then I think, okay, let me see. Okay.
Yeah,
can we get more words, right? If you really don't know whether you should invest, you can say not sure, right? Not sure is fine. Not sure is the right answer for you if you really don't know. But you are sure, like yes or no, then you can put it yes or no. Okay, about
Yes.
70%. Okay, come in already. Okay, let's see. Okay, I'm gonna end the poll.
And the
Okay,
polar.
I'm gonna share the result to you. So you can see 63% say no, right? And then 32% say not sure. Okay, I think that's fair, not sure, because you don't know what is account H. I didn't tell you the return also, right? Okay, so and then there are still some people say okay, oh yes, oh okay. Oh, that made me scratching. Okay. What is account H, right? Account H, in fact, is actually your mortgage account. That means when you have an account, it's called a mortgage account, and then the condition actually is the same, just like what I said, like condition 1, 2, 3. So we're gonna go through that. So, okay, I understand that. People like to pay off mortgage, like when we start the poll, the first one, how many percent say they want to pay off, right? 60%? 55?
Wow.
They say want to pay off as soon as possible, like 55% of them. They say, you guys, half of you, like one out of two, you say you want to pay off the mortgage as soon as possible. I understand, right? Because when you pay off earlier, you can save interest, right? That's the first thing. The second thing, your return is equals to the interest. That means the interest rate, let's say they charge you 3%, then the return you get for paying more will be same as the interest rate. So the interest rate is higher than FD. So definitely it might be good for a lot of people too if you just put money in FD, right? So you want to pay off that as soon as possible. And I think the main reason will be like no commitment. You say, right? Okay, now every month I don't have to pay another obligation, right? Every month I have to pay. Well, that's a burden. I started paying mortgage I think 23 years old, 22 years old when I first bought my house, the first one, and I never stopped paying mortgage until now, right? Still paying. So wow, a lot of commitment. And some people pay until they retire, right? Only settle the mortgage. So I understand, right? Okay, now let's look back. Why I say the mortgage account and account H is actually quite the same, or why? Because mortgage account, when you set it up, right, you have to pay regular fixed amount each month, right, at a fixed term. Like 1,000 a month for 25 years. So that's your obligation. That's condition number one.
That's your mortgage installment.
Yeah, that's your mortgage installment.
Okay.
Number two, right, condition two, you can pay more but not less. Because, of course, you can always pay more, right? We always pay more. But when you miss a few payments, that means if you pay less, you miss a few payments, your previous payment might be forfeited. Why is it forfeited? Because when you cannot pay for a few months consecutively, your property will be auctioned. So banks, they want their money back fast. So they are going to sell off your property, right, as fast as they can, so that they can get back their money. So for example, This is just a page I capture from the auction site. So when you buy a property at a buying price, and then your mortgage amount is slightly lower than your buying price, and when you auction at a price that is lower than your mortgage amount, that means even when you auction off, the money is not enough to pay your mortgage. Right? So basically, after you sell this house, you get back nothing. Maybe you have to fork out even more to pay off the mortgage, right? Or even if the auction price is the same as mortgage price, that means whatever you pay in between, you get nothing, right? So that means your previous payment is all forfeited, right? So this is condition number two, right? This is the loss you're going to incur. Okay, look at this. This is the loss you're going to incur. Okay, now let's look at third condition, right? Condition number three is that the more you pay, the less return you get. So this one need to have some analysis, right? I prepare a spreadsheet, and this is the spreadsheet. Okay, let me see. This is this page. Okay, this is a spreadsheet. Okay, for example, let's start with a 90% LTV. That means when your property is 500,000, you borrow 450,000. Right, and you're down
value lah.
Yes, Loan to value, LTV is loan to value, right? So the value of the property is 500,000. So you buy this one, 500,000, and you pay 10% down payment. So you fork out 50,000. Then you have to fork out another 5% for the transaction cost, right? Commission or like a stamp duty, maybe some furnishing, all those, right? So another 5%, I'll say, I'll just put it 5%. And then the mortgage you borrow from the bank, right, it's 450,000, okay, at a 3% interest rate. And tenure of 30 years, that means you're going to pay off in 360 months. Right, 360 payments, and 360 payments of 1,897 ringgit per month. Okay, so this is clear, right? So after you do this, and then let's see, now your now we have the assumption. So the assumption is that the net rental you get from this property, the net rental will be 1,897. So it's the same as an installment. This is an assumption because I want to do analysis. So the assumption is rental and installment break even. So in between these 30 years, you don't have to fork out any money. Okay? Okay? So so make the analysis easier. And that means you just have to fork out as the start 75,000. Okay? And then, let's say 5 years down the road, you sell the property at 700,000, so you make some profit there. Okay, so how to calculate this? This is actually quite easy. Okay, when we do this assumption, we know that you put in 75,000, because 75,000 is this down payment plus the transaction cost. So together, 75,000 is out of your pocket, right? 450,000 from the bank, so it's not from your pocket. And you don't have any cash flow issue because all covered with the rental. So after 5 years, you sell this, and then assume no tax, everything lah, assumption lah, because we just want to analyze. And the outstanding mortgage, how do we know, right? This outstanding mortgage, after 5 years, after you pay for 5 years, 60 months, how much is left in your outstanding mortgage? So this one, you have to have an amortization schedule. So this is a schedule. And I didn't build it. I don't think I built this. Oh, no, I didn't build this. This one I just copied from the internet, right? I think someone did it on on YouTube or something. So you can make a copy too. So here is it. So your beginning is 450,000, and then the interest rate 3%, term 30 years, so 360 months. Money payment is this. And then no extra payment, right? So the total interest, don't look at this, this is meaningless. So, okay, now I want to look at after 5 years, so when I sell it. So after 5 years, when we sell it, you still owe mortgage 400,000, right? This is the balance. So 400,000, I'll just put the number here, right? 400,000, you put it here. No, it's actually this figure, 400,000 ending balance, right? 400,078 ringgit. So you put the number here. So that means you make a profit of 700,000 minus 400,000. And you got roughly 300,000 return, right? So we calculate the compound annual growth rate from 75,000. That means your money stuck there only 75,000. It become 300,000 in 5 years. So it actually double two times, right? Double two times within 5 years. So it's a very good return. So you get 31.9% per month, per annum, sorry, right? So this is the return. Okay, is everything clear here? If okay, I'm going to move on to the next analysis.
Yeah, sure. Let's move on to the next
analysis. Okay, good. Now let's look at 60% LTV. Okay, so why 60% LTV? Because you want to pay off your mortgage as soon as possible, right? So if your purpose is to pay off your mortgage as soon as possible, so it's the same as taking less mortgage, isn't it? Right? So we keep the analysis simple. Now, you instead of borrowing 90%, you just borrow less. You borrow 60%. Okay? So when you borrow 60%, that means 500,000. You're still using transaction cost same, 25,000, but the down payment is more, 200,000. Okay? And mortgage only 300,000. So everything the same, rental the same, but installment is less. Now the installment is less. So when installment is less, that means your property is having positive cash flow. So you have 600 over a month. Right? But this is constant. Constant. So we assume it's constant. And that means your capital upfront will be 225,000. Because 200,000 plus this 25,000. So 225,000. After 5 years, you sell at the same price, 700,000. And how much is your outstanding mortgage? You have to settle that. Also, we just go back to the schedule, right? You can just change this to the loan 300,000, right? And then you can look at the amount here, 26679, 26679. And then the gross return will be 433,000. So that means, this, how do we calculate, right? This one, it has cash flow. It has cash flow. This one, it doesn't has cash flow. That's when the payment is zero. So this one, it's not hard also. It's just financial calculator. That means at first year, you have to put out this amount. And then every month, you get this amount. And at the end, you get this amount. So it's just a formula. And then you can calculate the return per annum. So the growth rate is also not bad still, 16.7%. But it is much lower than the one with the higher LTV. The one who don't pay off their mortgage as soon as possible. Right? So you understand, right? Everybody can catch this, right? So you can see. Why? Because it's very simple. It's actually very simple. No, you don't have to do this spreadsheet. We kind of just know. Because of the leverage. Right? Because this is using other people's money. This is using less of other people's money.
Mm-hmm.
Just higher leverage, lower leverage. So definitely higher leverage if your property is good, right? Generate income, appreciate. Then of course, with the higher leverage, it's going to get better return. It's just logic, right? I don't even have to put up this spreadsheet to confirm because I definitely know it, right? So this is just logic, common sense. Okay, now let's look at another example, right? Now, with zero mortgage, this guy who pay off the mortgage as soon as possible, right? Probably he pay off the next day. We have the cash. So you didn't get a loan at all, right? So it's like free, mortgage free, debt free. So debt free, they buy the property debt free. So no loan. No loan. So every month you have cash flow, positive, 1.897%, right? About 1,900 a month. Capital outlay will be a lot more, right? Because you pay cash for the property, 525,000, and you still exit price 700,000, and still make a good return, about 9.8% per annum. But due to no leverage, no loan, your return drops. Okay, so this is the result. Like, showing the proof, make it bigger a little bit. So this is a result showing the proof that condition number 3 is correct. The more you pay, the less return you get.
Okay.
Right? Okay. Condition number 4, right? Okay, the value you build up is actually not liquid. The value you build up is actually not liquid. So what if you need the money? So the more you pay for the mortgage, right? So the money actually built up in your home equity, right? It's all like in the home equity of the house, the property itself. So if you want to get the equity out from your properties, how do you do that? So you want to get that money out. First thing you can do is sell the property, then you get the money out, right? And then the second, of course, you can do financing. You can do refinancing. So you can refinance. Maybe the loan you pay off until 50%, then you refinance again. You push it up back to 80-90%. Right? So when you do refinancing, there are moving costs because you need to pay valuation fees, you need to pay legal fees, you pay the disbursement, stamp duty, all those things. And then if you do it within the mortgage lock-in period, then there's a penalty. Right, for early settlement also. So this is the cost as well. And when you want to do that refinancing, it is not a guarantee that banks is going to let you refinance, because it depends on your situation at that time, right? Because it still depends on your DSR at that time and your income proof at that time. So your condition at that time to be able to secure a refinancing. So that's why I say, no, condition number four, the more money you pay for the mortgage, it is actually not liquid, because you want to get that money out, it's going to cost you.
Okay.
Right? Understand? Okay. Right. Awesome. Now we get to the condition number five. The more you invest in account H, the higher the taxes, your income tax might increase. So why do I say that? Right? Okay. So you see, this is actually one of my property, right? So I got income 4,000 a month from this property, 48,000, right? So my expenditure for the property is like fire insurance, cukai taksiran, cukai tanah, and then I also pay public bank loan interest, about 38,000. And then you can see the total is 41,000, my expenses, right? So my net income is actually just 48,000 minus 41,000 is 6,000. So based on this 6,200, I pay tax to the government. And now we are not Malaysian resident. So I paid 30%, I think. Now, starting from this year, I did pay 30% on this income. So 30%, 2,000 I have to pay to the government. Right? So, okay. Now my question is, when you pay off your mortgage early, that means you pay more whenever you have more bonus, you put in. So you try to reduce the interest. And when you do that, okay, this amount, 38,000, will go up or go down?
This one will go down.
Will go down because we pay more, right? We pay more. So yes, common sense. It's go down, right? So when you pay more to reduce the mortgage, the interest portion go down. So when this go down, what does it mean?
Means you get more net rental income.
When I get more rental income, that means I pay more tax, right? So if this is become 9,000, I pay another 1,000 extra to the government, right? So this is the case. So I just prove the point. Condition number five: the more you pay, the more you invest in account H, which is the mortgage, the higher the taxes. Your income tax actually increase. Right. Okay. Okay, now let's get to this. You see, property owners actually lose money when one of these situations happens, except, so this is a quiz. You can look at the question like A, B, C, right? Property owners will lose money when one of these situations happens, except one of these is not true, right? The other two is true. So find out the wrong one, A, B, or C. A is property is vacant. B, property price drops due to no demand and oversupply. And C, total interest paid over the mortgage tenure is more than the property's price. This is very common. When you get a mortgage, they will show you an N chart and then say total interest you pay. And then they say, wow, with the total interest you pay, if you take 35 years, wow, the interest is going to be more than the price of the house you pay. So this is common myth, right? Because they just show the value and then people got shocked and say, oh, no, then I want shorter term. I want to pay off as soon as I can.
Is there a poll for this?
Is there a proof for this?
No, I mean a poll. A poll that people...
A poll, yes, I have a poll for this, yes. Bringing this up. Okay, forgot that I have a poll for this. Okay, quiz. Launch.
All right, please vote.
Yeah, please vote.
Property owners lose money when one of these situations happens.
A, B, or C. Type your answer, A, B, or C.
Property is vacant.
Except the answer. I want to accept.
Property price drop, then sure lose money, right? Isn't it?
Sure lose money, yes. So left with one answer only.
Okay, you can end the poll.
Okay. Okay, hey, very smart, everybody here. Like more than half of you actually say like 55%. Well, and like 57%, as you actually say that total interest paid over mortgage tenure is more than the property's price. Yes, you're right. Right, congratulations. A lot of you know this. You see, of course, you lose money when property is vacant, right? No income, right? And property price drops due to no demand, right? Property price drop, of course, you lose money, you buy at a higher price. And see, this is actually the obvious answer because interest paid can be more than your properties, but after the tenure, your property might appreciate 2-3 times already. So it's like more than actually the money you paid, right? So the answer is C. Yeah, this is the wrong one, except C. Okay, so next one. This is my preference. I don't pay off mortgages, right? So people prefer to pay mortgages because they want to save interest, right? But I don't want to save interest. Why, Mom? Do you have a sound mind, right? Why don't you want to save interest? Because I want to have more capital. I don't want to save interest. Well, I want to keep the money to myself, so that I have more capital. I have more capital to invest in other things, in stocks or maybe in other properties, or you know, invest in my business. Okay, so I can have more capitals. That's my reason, right? And then you say when you pay off your mortgage, you lock the return same as the interest, right? Return equals to interest, right? So I don't pay it off because I want to get a return higher than the interest. That's why I don't pay off the interest. I don't pay off the mortgage because I want to earn more than what the interest is charged, right? 3%. I want higher than that. So that's why I don't pay it off. I want to have that more capital so that I can invest on my own and get better return. And the third reason, you know, some people say, I don't like commitment. Right? So what's my reason? I make sure that my asset is more than debt. So actually, I can pay off the mortgage. No problem. I can pay it off. If I want to pay it off tomorrow, I can pay it off, right? So, but make sure that I just have more assets than debt. I have the money to pay that. But the money is with me. So that's my preference. Okay. Now we are going to have more quiz, right? So you see, there are two person, right? Two different school of thoughts. So Mr. Debt-free, so for those of you who actually cast the word saying that I want to pay off my mortgage as soon as possible, so you are the Mr. Debt-free because you want to be debt-free, right? So some people will do this. When they have property, 500,000, and their mortgage is 200,000, and they have not much cash with them because they try to pay off the mortgage as soon as they can. So when they have bonus, 13-month bonus or 3 months bonus, they will dump it in the mortgage. So the mortgage is actually will come down a very, it's a faster rate compared to other people's. But they don't have much cash because you try to pay off as soon as possible, right? So this is what we will do.
Okay.
Right? We can agree in this. Okay, now the other one. So this is another school of thought. Say, this is Mr. Payloan. Payloan. So I put that name so that it's easier for you to remember their name. Then we can do a quiz later. So Mr. Payloan is like that. He has this property, 500,000. So he has mortgage, 400,000. So he has cash, 210,000. So he has this money. So I put cash, but you can say invest in somewhere else or whatever, FD or whatever. So this money, he can actually just put in a mortgage and then the mortgage will reduce, right? To 200,000, then it's the same situation as Mr. Debt-free. So they actually have the same money, right? These two actually have the same money, same net worth. Okay, so my question is, if both got laid off due to crisis, if they are colleagues, they both got laid off due to crisis, let's say prolonged COVID-19, few years, no job. Okay, so both Mr. Debt-free and Mr. Payloan have no income for a long time, so unknown, don't know when they can get the next job. who is going to lose his house first? Okay, so let me ask you this question. Who will run out of cash first? Mr. Debt-free or Mr. Pei Lun?
Or both.
Or both will run out of cash at the same time.
You got both for this?
Yes. Thanks for reminding me that. Okay. Who have more cash? Who is a winner? Who will most likely fail to make? Okay. Oh, I missed this. I missed this poll. Okay, maybe type in the
chat box. Okay, no worries.
Type in the chat box. Who will run out of cash first?
So a lot of people say Mr. Debt-free. Debt-free. So if both of them lose their job, so Mr. Debt-free, he is the one who will run out of cash first.
Yeah, because he only have 10,000, right? The other one, Mr. Pei Lun, have 210,000, right? He can still survive for a while, right? Definitely longer, right? So yes, you're right. Mr. Debt-free will run out of cash first. Okay. Mm. The second question: who get to refinance their property? So this is based on the situation just now. Prolonged COVID-19, no job, no income. So who get to refinance their property? Mr. Debt-free or Mr. Pei Lun? Or C, banks won't even consider to lend to any of them.
We see though. I mean to say you got no income, no nothing. can you refinance your property based on last year's income? That is another question. So
No, of course not. They want to have your latest payslip. So let's say you give now it's November, you give them payslip of January to June, they are not going to say, no, I want your payslip of October at least. October, September, maybe you don't have the November one, but bank definitely want to see your latest payslip. Latest one. Cannot skip. So, okay. People cast the word. So, yeah. Most of you are right. Thank you.
Okay.
Just cast your vote. Okay, I'm going to end it. I'm going to share it. See the result. 60% say banks won't lend to any of them. So you're correct. The answer is C. Banks won't lend to any of them. So, okay, the next question. Who will most likely fail to make monthly payment to his home loan? You see, Mr. Debt-free's mortgage only 200,000. Mr. Pei Lun's mortgage is 400,000. So the question is, who will most likely fail to make monthly payment to his home loan?
Right, so as you can see here, there are a lot of A's now, so I think we get the picture. One say B.
Okay, let's cast a poll, right?
Or A la.
Launch this. Okay, let's just launch this. Okay. A la. Why A, right? But A, less mortgage, or half of the mortgage only, 200,000. Because the bank don't care how much you owe, but they care about your payment. They think Mr. Debt-free is more dangerous than Mr. Pei Lun. Because Pei Lun got cash. And he can slowly pay, right? He can still prolong the situation. So the answer is and the poll 85% of you got it right. So the answer is A. Right? A, Mr. Debt-free, because he got no cash. Next question. So who in this case is in a better financial position? Mr. Debt-free or Mr. Pei Lun, or same for both? Who is in better financial position? This is a bit subjective. Some people see it differently, maybe. So maybe I should revert.
Okay, I think this one it's worth to revise the question a bit because it's like same only but you can say who is more resilient in a financial crisis?
Who is more resilient, right? Who is more resilient? Who is more resilient?
Who can tahan longer?
Who
Yes,
can tahan
who?
longer? So, but in a way, so in a better financial position, isn't it? Because they are the same net worth, ma. Actually, they are the same net worth, ma, right? If you just compare net worth, the same,
It's
isn't it?
okay lah, so people get the picture like it's
Yes.
Elun who is in who can stay
Yes.
strong in this financial crisis lah.
Yes. So in the same situation, so now stock market crash. Both are fortunate to keep their job, so they still have cash flow, so no problem of paying loan. So banks not going to go after them, any of them. So my question is, who have more cash to buy undervalued stocks?
Pelun, yeah. So this one, everyone say Pelun already.
Okay, wait, let me launch it. I still have one more pool. Okay, launch it. Okay. Everyone say Peilun already. Because like some say cash is king, right? So
This round, it's an absolute answer, absolute. So nobody is going to stay debt free or same for both.
well, now it's 100%, Mr. Peilun. Okay, so this one we can everybody agrees, right? Actually, Mr. Debt-Free can also have the same cash to buy, but he has to take that money out. So, but to take that money out, you have to either sell your stock, sell your property, or you have to do refinancing. So both also take times. Both also take time. So, like for example, during COVID-19 last year, 2020 March, the stock drops a lot, but just within a few weeks, then it goes back up, right? So when Mr. Jeffrey see the situation, Mr. Jeffrey want to take advantage of that situation. He quickly go and refinance the property, lo. He go and do that, lo. But after when he got the money, the stock already went up back, right? So he missed the boat. So you see, that's why I say, Mr. Peilun is actually in a better financial position. So that's my view on that. So let me conclude. So the whole session is just to explain to you, show you the proof, show you the way to analyze this, and when you understand this, I come with a framework. So that's when regarding mortgage, I will see it this way. I say, mortgage is actually the number one source of cheap capital funding for investment, business, etc. Right? Because mortgage loan, it has the lowest interest of all, due to the fact that banks like properties. They know properties is going to appreciate over time, right? So as long as you have a good DSR, they will like to lend you the money, right? And then when your equity of your property is substantial, then you can refinance or do the top-up loan, get that money out, right? And refinance to a lower interest as well. So when interest rate drop, and if your mortgage is still at the old package with higher interest, 5%, 6%, then it makes sense to refinance to a lower interest. And then mortgage tenure, I always choose as long as possible so that my commitment is low. Right? So that's why it's a mortgage is suitable for young people, right? Because you can borrow up to 35 years. So have at least one flexi loan to park cash. So you can have a lot of mortgages, a few, but at least you have one that is a flexi loan. Right, flexi loan, that means the loan is linked to a flexi current account where you can take money out, and when you have extra cash, you don't know what to do yet, or you're still waiting for the next opportunity, then you can park your cash there in a flexi loan. And I actually never bother to pay off mortgage. So like when I have loan moratorium, I take it. And every month, I just fulfill my commitment. The commitment is to pay the minimum required. That's it. So more about our website, kclaw.com, is you can go there and download my Money Tips ebook series. It's free. We have weekly webinars like this every week. And if you get on my mailing list, you are going to get the notification as well. And we have Telegram channel where you can follow to. And then I have articles, I have online personal finance courses if you want to learn fast. And for those who are still not in my mailing list yet, so this is a challenge for you. So if you subscribe, sign up on this page, kclaw.com/LQ. I have an ebook for you free. So if you read this, you read it for 15 minutes. If you find it useless, you don't learn anything and it's useless to you, just reply to my email with your bank details and I'll pay you 5 ringgit for your trouble. I will treat you a nasi lemak. Not the expensive nasi lemak, the normal nasi lemak. Okay, so another poll before we go to Q&A, right? So it's the same poll as the beginning. So do you want to pay off your housing loan as soon as possible now?
Okay, so...
Let's start.
Oh.
Okay.
Hey, please vote. No, no, no. Yes, yes, yes. Wow. Okay, looks like Casey, you have done a good job in convincing people not to pay off their mortgages as soon as possible.
Because we are the bank's shareholders. Just a joke, you know. I mean, we are. I'm bank shareholders. I think Ian is also. So we are banks, shareholders, and we are also customers of the banks. You know, we loan money from, we borrow money from the bank too. And then when we are the shareholders, we kind of like, you know, we are lending money to ourselves. We pay both end. Okay, awesome. Thanks. That means, okay, I'm going to share the results so that you can see it. 81%. Say no. Okay, so I hope you understand the situation, why, or the purpose, why you don't want to pay off your mortgage. So bear in mind that this is not professional advice, right? This is just sharing information with you on my view about mortgages and how you can get benefit by utilizing mortgage wisely. Right, we're going to choose a lucky winner later. And if you want the slides, you want the spreadsheet, just now I show you the spreadsheet. Some people asking me what is the CAGR formula. The formula is RATE, R-A-T-E. So it's a financial calculator formula in Google Spreadsheet or whether in Microsoft Excel. The formula is called RATE, R-A-T-E. You type RATE and then they are going to ask you to input all the variables. So you can refer to the spreadsheet to see what variables we put in. Okay, get the slides here and spreadsheet here. This is a folder, Google folder. And of course, you cannot edit my document, right? You cannot edit it. But if you want to edit the version, just make a copy. Make a copy and then you can edit your version. The free ebook challenge is over here, kclaw.com/LQ. Okay, awesome. Let's do the Q&A.
Okay, so once again, thank you so much, Casey, for your time in preparing the slides, spreadsheet, and as well as conducting this webinar session. Right now, we are getting into the Q&A session where I'm going to just address each and every single one of your questions because we have the time to do so. But here, I'm going to just throw Casey our very first question, which is from Ramli Atan. So, Ramli Atan, I believe he's a retiree. He says, what about retirees? Okay, I have substantial amount of money in my EPF. Isn't it better to withdraw my EPF and pay off my mortgages? It's a famous question. I think you have done this quite a number of times. Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah. So you look at this, one of the reasons I don't do this is, you see, when you pay off, why I don't pay off my mortgage? So even if you're retired, so now you're retired, Ramli, and you have the money in EPF or wherever it is, so that money generated a return. It generates return. So like for EPF, it may be 4.something%. So my questions to you, is 4.something% higher or the mortgage you pay, for the interest mortgage you pay is higher? Right? Let's say your interest you pay right now, the market rate is about 3%, sometimes lower, right? Depending on the loan amount. The bigger amount it is, the lower interest it is. So the lower interest rate, that's what I mean. So if you take your EPF money and then you settle the mortgage, that means you lock your return at the interest rate. Right? So interest rate is 3%, then you lock your capital at 3% return. Don't be confused with how much the return your property is going to get, bro. It has nothing to do with your property. Because now we are talking about mortgage. You're paying off your mortgage. Mortgage is separate. It is not your property. Because your property, whether you paid it off or you didn't pay it off, it is still going to get the same rental, right? It's not like, okay, when you go and rent a place, you say, hey, your house got mortgage or not? Your house, no mortgage? No mortgage, I pay you more. Mm. Oh, got mortgage? Mortgage, I pay you less. No, it doesn't happen this way, right? You got my meaning, right? So it has nothing to do with your properties. Your property is still going to get the same return, whether you have mortgage or not, right? The return is still the same. The capital appreciation is still the same. It doesn't matter with your mortgage. So now you if you compare this, you have to compare your EPF return with your interest, your mortgage interest. So, for example, in this case, most likely your EPF return is going to be higher than your interest, mortgage interest. So it doesn't make sense to pay it off. Because once you pay it off, you have all the condition, right? You put your liquid asset into non-liquid, harder to take out. You lost your opportunity, right? And just like Mr. Defree and Mr. Pei Lun, in that situation.
Okay, so the next question. All right, so this one is from Alif Azif. And I'm going to just add on to the example given by you just now in the presentation. So just now we talk about the net rental income, right? So we have the gross rental, we minus off all the deductible expenses. Yeah. Okay. So the question by Alif is that, is it wise to take loan moratorium? I believe you are, if based on your logic, you could be one of those who actually take the loan moratorium to jack up the, you don't mind paying more interest. Whoa. And
yeah,
you don't
I mean, loan moratorium is a bonus to property owners. Actually, it's a bonus. You know, just now I say like condition, one of the conditions is when you want to take that money out, your equity, right? You want to get more loan from the equity. You have to do refinancing. So when you do refinancing, you have to pay more money, right? You have to pay stamp duty, all those documentation or legal fees. But loan moratorium, you don't have to do any of those. Just go to internet and click, right? So after that, you get extra loan. So it's like, wow, no. When it comes out, I'm like, no brainer, I should take it. Definitely, I would take it.
Look at it this way. All right, guys. Mm. I mean, if you take money from loan moratorium, okay, you're paying an interest cost of, let's say, 3% per annum. All right. So versus if you work really hard, okay, you work really hard and then you make more than 100 grand, all right. Anything above 100 grand, the cost of that money, although it's your hard work, you're going to pay 20% taxes on 20+%, 24. Casey is paying the maximum because he's not a resident in Malaysia. He's going to pay 28-30%. So what is 20% over 30% compared to the 3%? And you don't need to fill in any form, right? So if you look at it that way, it will be wise to take the loan moratorium. What do you think?
Definitely. No, you know, when I get the loan moratorium, I pay less taxes. You're right. I pay less taxes. I have higher leverage. So due to the loan moratorium, actually my properties is having more better return, but provided that I can rent it out, right? Some of our properties also got hit during COVID-19 because cannot do Airbnb. Income drops also.
So the next question. All right, so some people say, still think that, isn't it better if, let's say, this house does not generate rental income, because it is actually for own state, would it still be advisable to pay it off soon in the mortgage?
For the own state one, right?
Ah.
So some people also get confused, right? Whether it's an investment property or home state. So some guru, you know, some so-called a lot of experts out there, they say, okay, if it is investment property, I don't pay off as soon as possible. I don't pay off the mortgage. But if it's home stay, then I'll pay off the mortgage as soon as possible. So this actually contradict, you know? This is like, what? You're saying A here, but you are saying the other way here. So it doesn't make sense. So you have to think, it is very simple to analyze this situation. Say, now, you have this homestay property. So if you don't buy the property that you're staying on your own, do you pay rent?
Okay.
Same. You stay at the same property, right? You still pay rent, right? So if that property is not owned by you, owned by somebody else, you pay the rent. So the return of that property is actually the rental you save.
Hmm.
That makes sense, right?
Yeah.
So some property investor, they prefer renting instead of buying the property they are staying in, because they're based on the rental yield. So for example, if you buy a property and then you know the yield is very low, so that means the return of your property, the cash flow is actually very low, right? Due to the rental yield low. So like for example, 1 million property, and then basically you can rent the same property actually 1,000 only a month. So the rental yield is 1.2% a year. So low. So some people, they don't want to buy that. Well, because the rental, the yield is so low. So why not I just rent? Right? I can use my capital, that 1 million, to invest elsewhere to get better yield. So it's actually the same. So whether you're thinking like your own properties, should you pay it off or not? So you pay it off, it's still the same. The return is still the same. Whenever we pay it off, the return is the rate of the interest rate. That's the return you get, right? And I don't pay off even the property I own stay, right? Although I can settle it tomorrow, I will not do that too. I'll just use that money as more capital. I have more capital, I can invest elsewhere.
Okay, so the next one would be where? Okay, so Marie is asking this question. Was told that if take more loan moratorium, the repayment period will be extended for another 3 to 5 years. Really, I don't know. Okay, maybe there's an extended period to pay off the loan. What are your thoughts about that?
Not 3 to 5 years. I think we did an analysis before. We did a loan moratorium webinars with all the spreadsheet and everything. Definitely, it's going to be longer because you don't pay for 6 months. So it's at least extended 6 months, right? So then because of the 6 months, you incur more loan. So that 6 months become another 8-9 months, right? Mm-hmm. So your actually the end date you are paying the mortgage will be like 6 plus another 8 or something. So it's like 14 months. So what's the problem of having a longer loan to pay, right? Some people say, oh, I don't like the commitment. So it comes back to the same question already, right? Now you say you don't want commitment, so you want to pay off your mortgage as soon as possible. And mm-hmm. through this session, I've told you, if you want to have better financial position, right, you have to have more capital to invest elsewhere, then why bother to pay off that mortgage as soon as possible? So come back to the same situation. Mm-hmm. If the bank just charge me the interest and don't ask me to pay the principal, I'll do that too. That means I will owe the loan forever, right? In this case, I'll owe the loan forever. I will do that too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Because your net worth, due to the higher return rate, you invest elsewhere, then you are going to get more money. And at the end, it's just a matter of choice, right? Whether you want to lock your return at the interest rate and then you pay it off.
Okay, so with that, we will come to another question. This one is by Noasmi. So he asked a very profound question, which is, invest where? So, okay, so Casey, what are your thoughts about this?
I invest in two places only. So the first one is properties. So I advocate that young people start with property investment as soon as you can, because you have the highest leverage. You can have a very long tenure, so your commitment can be lower. So but the trick is you have to manage your cash flow very well, right? So this is first one. You can invest in more properties if you want to. And the second one would be investing in stocks. So I only invest in stocks. Stocks means business. Business can be my business or private business. So for private business, I just invest in my own business. I don't invest in other people's business. And for other people's business, I will invest only in public listed company, right? Those are more transparent, good companies that we are okay to hold on and tag along for the growth forever. So basically just finding good companies and buy the shares and become a shareholders. That's how I invest.
Okay, so here I just add up a little bit. So let's say you are still very sticky with this idea of paying off the mortgage, alright? So now here's the thing. Okay, so if you pay off your mortgage, right, you're going to save some interest. Okay, maybe it's that 2-3% that we are talking about. Alright? So that one is actually cash return. So do note that, okay, if you choose to pay off the mortgage, you're going to get 2-3% in interest. Okay? And that's cash return, alright? Which means it's guaranteed. But if let's say you choose to, when you choose to invest, do know that you have to compare it with, I mean, for me personally, I will compare it with other products, be it stocks or EPF or properties, based on cash return. All
right. Or ASB, right? Mm.
ASB. So like, Noasmi, you are a boomy, so therefore ASB is an option. Yeah. But of course, ASB, you can also pinjam loan. So
you can leverage some more. Okay.
You can invest some more. So that is actually the thing. But what I want to take note is this. Some people say, I got a little moratorium, so now let's do some stock trading. Let's speculate a bit. Let's buy some cryptos. Let's do this. Let's do this kind of thing. This is actually not what we are trying to preach, because could make a lot. Maybe you got lucky, you could make a lot, or you could actually burn it all, which is worse than, which you could be better off if you just put it in a mortgage account, right? So we are not. So be mindful of that, lah.
Yeah. Ian, when you say this is good. That means when I say don't pay off mortgage so that you have more capital, you can invest elsewhere, invest wisely, so that you can grow your wealth faster, right? This is different from people who don't pay off mortgage and they have that money and then they go to Genting. Right? And so for me, if you are going to speculate in stocks or you're going to invest in some unknown currency, NFT, it's like buying a lottery. To me, it's just like that. So we are not advocating that. So please don't do that. You'll be hurtful to your finances.
Yes, of course. And of course, we are not recommending I got this 2-3%. Now, border open. Let's go to Langkawi. And you start having some fun. And you go to Langkawi for I mean, they say, of course, it's enjoyable. That's of course your choice, lah. But that's not what we meant also, lah, when it comes to your
Of course,
finances.
you can have that fun when that money is maybe 0 point something percent of your net worth. Then you go do that lah. It's fine. like let's say your net worth, right, is generating a return of let's say 10% a year, and then you spend 2-3% of it for enjoy, for luxury. Nobody's going to question you. Like for example, Jeff Bezos, he spent on a yacht, but the yacht is. It's what 0 point something percent of his wealth only, right? It's just like us buying an iPhone. So that's the point, right? That's the point.
So that is the case, lah. Actually, if you do not know how to invest, right? Let's say you don't know anything, lah. All right. If you're boomy, maybe you can try ASB. But if you're non-boomy like me, right? You can just consider an option where you just take the extra cash and put it in the ETF. If you if even that also beats the 3% of mortgage, lah. But the condition is that, of course, once you put money in ETF, that's it, lah. So you can also take it out, lah. All right. So if you really, really want to commit into something, lah, means you don't want to take money out, right? You might as well do that. But if you want to have the liquidity, right? You can actually learn how to invest in stocks if you know how to invest in stocks, because we don't condone to speculation. And of course, it could be used. You can put it in a cash deposit somewhere, temporary, for your next property, lah. All right. Okay, so let's move on to the next one. Okay, so something related to critical illness. So if someone got critical illness, is it okay to settle the mortgage first or to wait for MRTA to settle when he dies?
The money for MRTA, right? It will pay when you die. It will pay when you die. Whether you have mortgage or not, it's a separate issue. Even when you pay off your mortgage, after you pay it off, your insurance is still there. You still have the coverage. So if you die, then you still get the money. So you get double, you will still get the money as long as you die, right? So actually, it doesn't matter whether you pay off your mortgage, because the MRTA is a separate issue. It doesn't track how much you owe, and then they only insure that part. So usually, when you buy an insurance, it's already spelled out in the terms, like how much they are going to cover year 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 4 year, 5 year. There's a schedule already. So based on that schedule, you are going to get payment. So this is the second part of the question, right? What's the first part already? I kind of forget it.
Critical illness.
Oh, so when you get critical illness, you might need even more money. So why do you use that money to pay off your mortgage? Right? So you basically just do the bad condition that I mentioned before. You turn liquid asset into non-liquid asset. And it will cost you more when you get that money out.
Yeah, actually, first and foremost, MRTA doesn't really cover critical illness. And second, like what Casey said, I mean to say, when you've got critical illness, then you need more money, so you shouldn't be paying. So you may want to save it
Yeah,
for
there are
yourself.
a lot of actually different type of MRTA too. You can cover critical illness as well for MRTA. But usually, if you buy from bank, right, bank don't want to sell you that product, because when you cover MRTA, when the MRTA cover critical illness, that means the underwriting will be more stringent. They're more stringent, then more work have to do. So the bankers, they are not like insurance agent. They don't do that full time. So when the paperwork get tedious closing the same case, why bother to do that, right?
Next question from Michael Tay. Michael Tay says, "Ask, do you consider it in the event of an unfortunate circumstances or birth passing, whether the next of kin will inherit the problem if they are not financially savvy?"
So when your next of kin, your heirs are not financially savvy, whatever you give it to them will be a problem, isn't it? whatever you give it to them will be a problem. So whether the house is like fully paid off is also a problem, because they can sell it, they can get the money, right? So I think the issue you want to solve is you want them to be financially literate. So you want them to understand all this stuff. So some people they do some control over that. So they can impose some control. So when you die, you cannot say anything already. So you say the thing before you die. So you do it to your will, your wasiat, or you can do it to trust, you know, the private trust or family protection trust, all those things, to control certain of your assets. How is it going to be distributed? So I understand the concern. Maybe your question is that, okay, now when I die, a lot of my properties still have mortgages, right? So who are going to settle that, isn't it? So actually, you don't worry about that, because your properties, bank can sell it off and pay off the mortgage, right? So whether your heirs or your trustee executors, who can do it for you, just sell those property and turn it into cash, right? They can do it for you. Or if they don't do it and then nobody pay the installment, then the bank will do it for you. They are going to auction your property. Then whatever left, you know, the cash will be given to your heirs, right? If you don't have MRTA or anything. So don't worry about that. So because basically, unless all your properties are underwater, that means the mortgage is more than your market value, then that's the problem you have now. It's not later. That's the problem you have actually right now. Right?
Actually, technically speaking, right, I mean to say, if let's say you have multiple properties, all with mortgages, like, let's just have an insurance policy. The second one is like we talk about executor and stuff like that. So it's like a will, lah, all right? So write a will. Have insurance policy, lah, I mean, on top of MRTA, because sometimes, like, we take loan moratorium already. So of course, the MRTA, it's not enough to cover our mortgage, lah, all right? Because now we kind of like increase our mortgage without the MRTA. So have extra, have insurance policy to cover for that. And then, of course, if let's say upon people passing, right, then the insurance policy, you can actually have a choice, lah. You can use that to, I mean, they say you can set a trust whereby you instruct the trustee to take the insurance policy and settle the mortgage. So it depends on how you want to do it, right? So but this one is a bit more estate planning stuff maybe. So you may want to take note of that. Okay, next one. Marie again. Marie says this. I think this is your favorite topic, you see. That's why I asked this. The current trend of loan repayment is 35 years until age 70. And at the end of the loan tenure payment, the bank will own 3 houses already with the interest paid. But then, if let's say we take shorter loan tenure, like 15 years, okay, so it's like, if I take 35 years mortgage, I buy one house, after I pay off everything, the bank will own 3 houses. But if I take a shorter loan tenure, like 15 years, I buy the same house, but then the bank will only, at the end of the loan tenure, will own only one house. So it's more tight, you know, to actually have a 15-year loan than a 35-year loan. You get the logic?
This is common misconception about time value of money. Because in the future, you can say whatever figure it is, it comes back to the present value. Right, or the future value, you have to put it at the same time frame to look at it. So if you really cannot grasp this concept, right, we're going to do time value of money again. So I'm going to train again, talking about this topic in December. So stay tuned for that. I've prepared some information to do. So make sure you don't miss that. Right. So now come back to here. Imagine just you put money in the bank and the bank is giving you 2%, right? So the money still grow. So if you give it enough long time, like 100 years, 200 years, the amount is going to be enormous because of the compound interest, right? So in this case, like, okay, now bank, they lend you the money. So you get the money already, and then you get the money to buy that house, and your house also actually go up in value, right? And then bank is just getting money. They fix the rate already, right? They kind of like know the return of the money they lend to you. Maybe 2% or 3% is like fixed already, 2 or 3%. And then, but your property is also compounding, right? You get rental and then you get capital appreciation. So your property is also compounding. But you see the issue here is that you're actually not using your money to buy the properties, right? You're using the bank's money. So banks say, you give me 2-3%. I just compound my money at 2-3%. But to the bank, why is still profitable? Because when they give that money to you, they lend it, they borrow it from somebody else, but they just give those people 1% or lower from FD, from saving account. So to the bank, it's like they sure win because I give it to you, I charge you 3%, but people lend it to me, I just pay 1 or 2%. Right? So I still make the difference and actually not my money. Okay, so you are in a case also doing the same. No, bank lends you the money and you're paying 3%. But all the gain you gain from your properties has nothing to do with the bank, right? You keep all the difference, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So when you come back to how long the loan tenure, you know, the amount of interest, people just look at the end figure because the end figure doesn't matter, right? The end figure at the end, like long time ago, and then you add up all the amounts from each year is actually not a good comparison because 1,000 today is different from 1,000 next year, is different from 1,000 another year. So that's why we have the topic called, the subject called time value of money, right? So that is actually mathematical. So you have to discount all the future money to the present value, and then you have to now make it all equals. Like another example would be like, the value of the money in the future is actually in different currencies. You have to think it this way. So you are getting paid now in ringgit. Tomorrow, maybe in Thai baht, right? Next year in Thai baht, and then another year in Indonesian rupee. So you see the value is keep depreciate, right? due to time value or due to the time. And to compare, you have to discount everything back to here. So you have to convert your Thai baht, you convert your rupee back to ringgit so that you can compare, right? So when you talk to me, you say, "Wow, now 30 years, after 30 years, I pay total how much?" Then I say, "How do you compare? Today you pay ringgit, tomorrow you pay Thai baht. You pay rupee. So it's actually different value." So now you lump it together and then you give me a figure. You cannot compare this way. Right, it just doesn't make sense. So that's another subject, right? Time value of money. So you have to understand that to make this actually click for you.
Or you can try to visualize. I do not know whether you can do this, but maybe you can visualize it this way. Is there such a thing called the Big Mac theory? So which means to say, okay, so today, so last year you make, let's say, 5,000 bucks, 5,000 ringgit. And then 5,000 ringgit, you can buy 500 Big Mac, for example. Big Mac, McDonald's Big Mac. And then this year, you still make the same $5,000. But then Big Mac has increased in price already. So instead of getting 500 Big Macs, you now get 480 Big Macs, for example. All right? You can actually compare. What I'm saying is that if you use this Big Mac theory, right, you cannot use absolute figure already. Because... your money in the future will buy lesser Big Mac in the future.
Yeah.
Your money today is worth more because it can buy you a lot of Big Mac. But next time you will have half a Big Mac. So that is another way of looking at.
Another example will be this one, very relatable. Say now you get a salary, right? So let's say your salary is 10,000 a month, right? So your boss say, okay, your salary is 10,000, but I'm going to pay you next year. Maxine only pay you 10,000, okay? So you, now you work for free first. You work for free, but next year I'm going to pay you 10,000 for this month, right? And then the next month one, I'll pay you another 1 year later. So you know that this is not fair to you already, right? Because you know 10,000 now is worth more than 10,000 next year. Definitely, because I can use the money now. Or even I use that 10,000 put in FD, next year I'm going to end up with more money, right? Ah, now, then your boss, okay, now you argue with your boss say, okay, now, okay, you don't take this 10,000 now lah. Next year, I pay you 10,000 and 10 ringgit. then you try to figure out, wow, 10 ringgit, is it worth it or not, right? The return 10 ringgit off of 1,000 is just 0.01%, so not worth it. Then your boss say, okay, he offer you, how about I pay you 11,000 next year, after 1 year? Now you're thinking, okay, 10,000. Become 11,000, so it's 10% a year. Then you try to figure out, if you already have a lot of money, and even you put your money in FD, it will not generate until 11,000. So you might take the offer if you trust your boss, right? So this is time value of money. This is the subject about time value of money.
Yeah, this is definitely the subject of time value of money. Of course, it depends on how much trust you have on the boss, lah. The boss will call you. Oh, next year I pay you, but he told already. So then too bad, lah. But okay. Let's answer a few more questions before we go for our lunch.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about capital appreciation of properties. So this one is from Yi Ling. So Yi Ling says there are many properties which do not appreciate after 5 years, or have very low capital appreciation. So how does this apply to Mr. Pei Lu? So that's I'm just reading her stuff in the Q&A box. Okay, your thoughts on this?
Okay, properties. Now, a lot of people say, you look at property and then you lump the mortgage together, and you have to actually look at it differently. One is asset, one is debt. So they're actually separate. Although you get the mortgage to acquire the asset, right? Although it's asset and debts, you get the debts to acquire the asset. But actually, the return is actually different. Both are two things, right?
Mm.
Paying off your mortgage, you get a return. Paying off a mortgage, you get the return of the interest rate, which is 3%. But it doesn't change the return of your properties. So your question is, okay, now we buy properties and some properties doesn't appreciate. So that's the problem of the asset. It's not the problem of the mortgage, right? Today, we didn't talk about properties at all. We are talking about mortgage. Right? We're talking about how you handle the debt.
Mm-hmm.
The property is another issue. So, of course, if you want to buy a property that can sure appreciate, then you have to do your research or do your due diligence. You want to buy undervalue. You want to buy property that can easily rent out, get return, you know. So, a lot of issues over there. So, I'm not saying that simply buy a property is going to make you profit. Because I do buy, and some properties make money, and some properties used to make money, and then later on doesn't feel so good anymore, right? So there are issues, definitely, because this is just investment. Same as we buy stocks also. Not like every stock we buy will appreciate in value. There are sure some. The business fundamental change, right? And they didn't see growth for many years. Then of course, when the business is not growing, our investment also not growing, with tagging along with that stocks. Basically, asset is asset, mortgage is mortgage. But whatever you handle with your mortgage, right, this is sort of like a guarantee, because all in black and white, man. all in black and white. But the part where you handle your assets, then that one require more skills, right? You have to be a better investor to actually have better result.
Okay. All right. Actually, I think this one is a repeat of some of the questions that we have done. So let's see whether is there any add-on, because this one is from Asmui Anwar. So it says here, we bought a low-cost house and it's currently under construction. The certificate of completion is coming this December. The house is 45,000 ringgit. Got a loan from Maybank, 90%. So 35 years loan. Installment is 166. Okay.
166 only.
Because house 45,000, so much, okay, in terms of loan. So the question is that, is it better for me to pay the 166 a month until 20 years, although his loan tenure is 35 years? After 20 years, then make full settlement, finish with it. Or is it better to just continue pay the 166 until the end of the tenure of the house?
Okay. Did Asmui miss our earlier session?
No, no.
I'm asking this because we know, since from the start I've talked about all the conditions, right, the account hedge, and comparing that. So, my conclusion of the webinar is that you don't pay off your mortgage as soon as possible, unless just one condition, you don't know how to invest. That means your money, when you have it, you just don't know what to do with it. You just put it in the bank or FD.
Yeah.
Then that's very dumb. Because when you put your money back to the bank and then bank use it to lend it back to you and then charge you money, of course you don't want to do that. Right? Right? If you don't invest, you don't use that money to invest, you just give it to the bank and let the bank lend it back to you and then they charge you higher interest for that. Then you are losing money over the long term. Of course, you are losing money, right? So, but we are advocating people learn how to invest, right? So that you have that money, you don't just put it in a bank. Invest in somewhere else. For Bumi, if you don't know, just ASB, Tabung Haji, all those giving better return than your interest of mortgage. So now you have the cash, you have the investment. And you can just fulfill your obligation every month. Drag it as long as you can. Why bother to pay it off early? You don't have to do that. Because as long as you have that money is generating higher return for you. So once you liquid that and then you put it in the mortgage, you already lock the return. You lock the return at the interest rate. Unless the interest rate is like 8%, 9%, why bother to lock the interest rate, right? Yeah.
Okay, so that is actually our answer. Now I'm gonna show Casey one very technical question, because I believe, right, I suddenly thought that maybe this could be the reason why you might consider paying off your mortgage early. But let's discuss, all right?
Okay.
So let me just paint you a picture, all right, this scenario. So let's assume that you have two properties, okay? The first property, maybe because you're starting off with your property investment journey, you bought a flat, 100,000, and then your mortgage is about, okay lah, let's say after years of paying, you are still left with less than 50,000. Let's keep it 50,000, for example. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the first property, you have $100,000 flat, mortgage balance 50,000. The second property, you kind of like increase your income already, so you can buy more. So you bought a nicer house, you buy maybe a $300,000 house, and then your mortgage is about 250,000. Okay, and then now you want to buy the third property. Okay, the third property, this time it costs about, let's say, $600,000. So the question is that, if you buy the third property, $600,000, your down payment is $180,000. All right?
Because of 30% 70% LTV, right, on the third property.
Because of the 70% LTV. Okay. So in this situation, can we say that is this an exception whereby it could be smart for the person to actually settle the mortgage for the flat so that he can, you know, get a 90% LTV for his third property?
Yes. This is a very good question. Yeah, this is a very good question. That means you're buying a bigger and bigger properties. So, but the third one, when you need even more loan, you cannot get 90% LTV due to the first two loans, right? So, yes, in this case, definitely makes sense. You settle the small loan, right, the 50,000 loan, so that you can get 200,000 more here, right? Maybe 150,000 more, right? So, settle 50, then we get 150,000 more loan. So, net, you get 100,000 more, right? so in this case, yes, correct. You should do that, you know? Settle the small loan so that you can get 90% on the third loan becomes second loan already. So after you do that, then you come back and refinance on the first loan, become the third loan. Then on 70% LTV, never mind, because the property is smaller already.
Oh, okay. Yeah. See, if you don't understand the whole dynamics, let me just explain. So if you don't settle the loan, your third property, you're going to put in 30% down payment. So you're going to pay 180. You need an upfront capital of 180,000. So let's assume that you have that 180,000. Why not you take out of the 180,000, 50,000 of it, settle the first one. So 50,000 gone, the first one. Then because you settled the flat already, right? The $600,000 property, all right, it allows you to get 90% loan. So your down payment is just 60,000. All right. So you just need, instead of putting in 180,000, you just put in 60,000 in your third property. But of course, you have settled the 50,000 loan on the flat. So therefore, your capital upfront, right, is 110,000, not 180,000. 70,000, right? It still can sit in the bank, you know, as a standby fund. So that is probably the only exception of why you should be paying off your mortgage.
yes, for a different reason, right?
The reason
nice.
Of getting
yeah, very good elaboration.
Okay, so I think we have covered everything and anything that we need to know about mortgages. I hope that you have actually find this session insightful. But then if you still couldn't get your heads around, hey, this KC, I do not know. Like, I mean, I think I need another session. So there are two places that you can actually go to in order to, get refresh of this. The first one is you go to KC Law's Money Tips, because we're going to put this recording session live for a limited time play of 7 days. So 7 days on KC Law's Money Tips. And by the way, Facebook, who has actually sent the share and stuff like that? Nobody come back and reply to
me. I'll go and pick a winner, and I'm going to contact them through the chat. Yeah.
No second one. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's a second place where we can do this, which is 2 days time, which is on Thursday, 11 a.m. We are going to repeat the whole session again. We are going to do this. We are going to do this session all over again, but this time in Huayu. Right?
Mandarin, Chinese.
Mandarin, yes. So if you're a Mandarin speaker and you just want to check our Mandarin or you prefer to listen to this whole session in Mandarin, come join us next Thursday. All right? Not next Thursday. This Thursday, 11 a.m.
This Thursday, yeah.
We are going to 讲华语 and we are going to bring this, we are going to bring this, everything in Mandarin Chinese. So KC, before we end, any last words? Words of wisdom that you want to impart to our audience today?
Don't know what to conclude. So what I think about, like, I think when you are financially smart, right, you are financially savvy, it actually help you run the race better. It's like, you know, your life is building wealth. It's like running a marathon, right? So, or going for a hike for this matter, right? And if you have better knowledge of the situation, I think you will do much better, much easier. You will enjoy the process more compared to those people who are not prepared, right? Don't have that mindset. So this is why I do this session, just to let you know how to handle your mortgages so that you understand the in and out, right? Then you can make your wise decision on your own.
Fantastic. If you need a recap, Facebook page, number one. Number two, come join us this Thursday. Why, right? And yep. Then third one, buy PWM, our very good membership, because you'll get unlimited access to all these very good, wonderful webinars. Okay. All right. So guys, thank you so much for attending. Let's go and have lunch. See you in 2 days' time.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.